Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Hebrews, the sixth chapter. We've been doing a study out of the book of Hebrews. We learned about leaving the elementary discussions of Christ, of spiritual things, we could say, and we're to move on to perfection. We're to grow up in the things of God. We're not just to be satisfied with being born again. Thank God we're born again. And you could get satisfied just thinking on that. But we're not to be satisfied with that. You know, I remember when I was in the martial arts, back when I was a teenager, we had a saying up on the wall where we worked out, and it said, to be satisfied with yourself is a sure sign that your forward motion is about to stop. If you become satisfied with yourself, then you're not going to keep moving forward. And of course, we could just park on the fact that, man, we're born again, we're children of God, and we're going to heaven. And we can just be satisfied and sit back and just think on that until Jesus comes back or until we go to him. But that's not God's will for us. God wants us to take what we have from him, take this new birth that he has given us, and begin to grow up and go further into it while here on the earth. We're to grow and mature in the things of God. We're to grow in our faith. We're to grow in favor with God. God's spirit, God's power, God's presence is to become stronger and stronger upon our life. We are to be witnesses of him in the earth. Our lives are to be witnesses of him. We're not just to go out witnessing. We are to be witnesses. We are to be a light to the world. We're to be powerhouses of God. We have the world's answers. We are the world's superheroes. But we've got to come out of our Clark Kent carnal disguises. And we got to put on our spiritual, beautiful garments. Praise the Lord. Put on Jesus Christ. The people of the world need to see him in action, in our life, flowing through us, in our life. The whole creation, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, is waiting for that. So we've got to grow up. We've got to move on. We are to be going from blessing upon blessing. Be blessed, more blessed, blessed, more blessed, blessing upon blessing. And that's what we saw in here. And I'm just reviewing what we talked about last time in Hebrews, the sixth chapter. How Abraham was called to be a blessing. The Lord said to him in Genesis, he said, in your seed all the nations shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. In your seed all the nations will be blessed because of you. Because of you. Because of your obedience. Because of your seed. Because of what you've sown. Because of what you've done and what you do. All the nations will be blessed. Well, for the nations to be blessed because of you, then you would have to be really blessed. So we're not to just be blessed for the sake of being blessed, but we are to be blessed so that we are a blessing. So don't just be satisfied with just being blessed. Well, I'm born again, I'm blessed. I'm going to heaven, I'm blessed. God's providing for me. I'm taking care of. Things are good. I'm blessed. Don't settle for that. You're to be blessed upon blessed upon blessed upon blessed. You're overflowing with blessing so that all the nations are blessed because of you. See, it wasn't limited to Abraham. It is for all of us. Abraham is called the father of our faith. And it's to be father like son. You and I are to be the same way. These promises are for us today. In fact, the blessing of Abraham is to be upon us. It tells us that over in Galatians, the third chapter. It says in verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. As is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In the next verse, that the blessing of Abraham, you know, that blessing that was going to bless all the nations, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. in Christ Jesus. That's you and I. We are in Christ Jesus. So that same blessing that was to be upon Abraham is to be upon our life also. So you become more of a blessing the more you obey God, and the more of a sower you become. The more you obey God, the more of a giver you become, the more of a sower of good things you become, the more of a blessing you become. And the more of a blessing you make yourself to be by obeying God and being a sower, the more you're going to get blessed, because now you're walking in your purpose as a child of God, which is to be a blessing, to be blessed and be a blessing. What you sow in life will determine the level of blessing you will be in life. We got to watch what we're sowing. Galatians also talks about he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So we could be sowing to the flesh or be sowing to the Spirit. Again, obedience to God is sowing to the Spirit. Being a sower, being a giver, is sowing according to the Spirit. And so we want to be sowing according to the Spirit, because if we're just sowing according to the flesh, then we're just sowing a bunch of weeds and thorns and things that make life difficult first for us and then for others. I want to be blessed and a blessing. I don't want to be cursed and a curse. I don't want to cause problems. I don't want to cause pain in other people's. I don't want to have pain in my life, and I don't want to be a cause for pain in other people's lives. I don't want to do things. I don't want to fail in life so that I cause people pain, that I cause people trouble. I want to be a blessing. I believe we all want to be a blessing. But we saw that in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 8, he says, but if it, talking about really a person, if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. So notice that. He says, if it's producing thorns, it's producing things that stick and poke people and make life difficult for people, it's near to being cursed. See, that's the opposite of being blessed. I don't want to be cursed. I want to be blessed. Well, how are you going to be blessed? You got to sow the right things. You got to produce the right things in life. But if we're sowing weed seed and producing a bunch of thorns and briars and these kind of things, then we're near to being cursed. And we are being a curse to other people. But we want to be a blessing. But it's dependent upon how much you obey God, how you sow. Are you a sower of good things? Are you a person that's endeavoring to grow up spiritually, grow in faith, walk in the Spirit, sow according to the Spirit? Or are you a person that's satisfied with just living a carnal, fleshly life and saying, I'm blessed, I'm saved, it's good enough for me. It's good enough for me. No, I'm happy right where I am. Well, you're not to be happy where you are. Because if you're satisfied with where you are, your forward motion is about to stop, which means you're just yielding to the flesh, which means you're sowing to the flesh, which means what? You're producing briars. You're producing thorns. You're producing things that will ultimately make your life difficult, so that the blessing you say you enjoy now, you're near to losing. We don't want to lose what we have received. We don't want to lose the blessing we have by just sitting on it. By just digging a hole, burying it, and saying, I'm blessed. I'm just going to stay right here. I'm blessed. I don't have to move forward. I don't have to do anymore. I'm blessed right here. As long as my life is sustained, I'm satisfied. No, if we don't use it, if we don't increase it, if we don't sow it, we're going to lose it. I said we're going to lose it. And ultimately, it can get down to the point where you lose your own soul. And it's burned in the fires of hell. That's what he's talking about here in Hebrews 6, 8. And then Proverbs 15, 19 says this. It says, the way of the lazy man is like a hedge of thorns, but the way of the upright is a highway. So again, a lazy man is that satisfied man. It's that man that's not moving forward. His forward motion has stopped. He's lazy. He's not motivated. Happy with where he's at. Happy enough. And as a result of that, he's yielding to the flesh, sowing to the flesh. And as a result of that, he's producing a path that is full of thorns. He's got hedges of thorns all around him. He's hedged in by thorns. I don't want to create a thorny life for myself. And yet so many people do that. They are creating a thorny life for themselves. Even though there are many people that are diligent with natural things. Man, they get up, they go to work, they're, you know, moving up in their career, you know, they're getting an advance, and you know, they're getting, you know, raises on the job, they're being increased financially, you know, all these great things, they're working hard. Some people call them a workaholic, man. I mean, they are diligent with these natural things. And so outwardly, man, it looks like things are getting better for them, they're having more. Yet, if we're lazy spiritually, if we're sowing to the flesh spiritually, if we're not pursuing God, if we're not seeking to do his will, but we're just doing our own, diligent to do our own will, but not diligent to do his will, then we are in the spirit sowing according to the flesh. And we might be building this outward palace, but inwardly, it's all corroding. It's all corroding. And eventually, it'll all come down. And life just gets more and more difficult. You know, a lot of people with a lot of wealth have a very difficult life. They might have a lot of nice things, but they have a lot of entanglements too. They have a lot of bondages. They have a lot of things that are controlling them, a lot of things that are tripping them up in life. They're a slave to a lot of things. They're caught in a lot of thorns are grabbing them. And they're getting hooked. Hooked to stuff. Things are catching them. See, so it's not just about being diligent outwardly. We got to be diligent with spiritual things. Diligent with spiritual things. Diligent with the word of God. And then, praise God, it's just like taking a machete. Shakung, shaka, shaka. And as your faith grows, your machete gets bigger. Chung, chung. And you're just clearing your path. And you're cutting through all the thorns. And as your faith is growing, next thing you know, it turns into a bush hog. And you just drive through there and you're just clearing out thickets and all these things. And you're just tearing up stuff. And you start getting all this earth-moving equipment, man. And your faith is just growing. And next thing you know, there's pavement being laid, by praise God. And next thing you know, you've got a highway. A highway. And that's how it is for the upright. That's what he says it is in Proverbs 15:19. The way of a lazy man is like a hedge of thorns. He's just sitting around and thorns are growing up all around him, spiritually. But the way of the upright is a highway. Hallelujah. It's going to get easier. I said it's going to get easier. Life can get easier. The way of the transgressor is hard. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy. It's easy. And my burden is light. So the more we're obeying him, yielding to him, cooperating with him, the easier and lighter things are becoming. Hallelujah. Is life getting easier and lighter? It needs to be getting easier and lighter. Easy and lighter. Easier and lighter. Hallelujah. Abraham sowed his son, and God blessed him with blessings upon blessings. And of course, Abraham, what he did is a type or a shadow of what God would do and now has done by giving his son, by offering his son up as a sacrifice. Think about that. Here God calls Abraham to offer his son up as a sacrifice. And as he's about to sacrifice his son, God stops him from doing it and provides another offering for him to offer up, some ram over here that was caught in the thickets. And so Abraham offered up the ram in place of his son. But what Abraham was called to do was a type of what God the Father would do 2,000 years later by offering up his son as a sacrifice for you and I. And he gave his son as a sacrifice for us. He didn't withhold him. He didn't at the last minute change his mind. He gave us his son and sacrificed him up for us. And you think about Abraham being put in a position like that to be a type of God. Abraham became an illustration of God. His son Isaac became an illustration, a shadow of what was to come, a shadow of Jesus Christ. The reason why it's called a shadow is because, you know, let's say the light was shining on that wall in a certain way that when somebody's coming outside that room, maybe there's a light inside the room and they're coming out of the room and the light's shining on that wall. Before they come out, I'm standing here, I would probably see their shadow before I see them. See? So that shadow would precede them. Well, the Old Testament is full of all kinds of shadows of Jesus Christ and his coming and what he was to do. So these illustrations in the Bible preceded him, his actual coming. And you think about what an awesome honor that would be for Abraham, looking back now to see that God had this whole thing set up and made his life an illustration, a living illustration of Jesus, of God offering up his son Jesus. And again, you see this all through the word of God. Let's go down to verse 19. It says, this hope we have as an anchor, the hope it's talking about there, is Jesus being offered up for you and I. Jesus being given as a sacrifice for us. Jesus is our hope. He is our hope. And this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence of God, behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, there's a lot there that, you know, some folks might not understand. But first of all, Jesus is the hope of what he's done for us is an anchor to our souls. That no matter what kind of storms are rising up in life, when you got your anchor set, you're not going anywhere. Right? I mean, you might be getting moved around a little bit, but you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. So, you know, we don't worry about it. Okay, well, you know, we're feeling some things. There's some movement. I'm getting bumped around. I mean, everything's not really still. The winds of life aren't necessarily calm. I feel them blowing. I feel them pushing up against me. I feel the current of this life pulling on me. That's okay. We don't panic just because we feel the current pressing against us. Just because the wind is beating on us. We just rest in knowing that we are anchored. We are anchored in him. We've got Jesus. And we are moving further into him. No matter what's pressing up against us, no matter what's going on, we're going further and further into him. We're going in beyond the veil, he talks about here. Beyond the veil. Into his presence. Into a deeper place in his presence. Verse 20, where the forerunner has entered for us. There's someone that has gone before us, and it's Jesus. Jesus has gone before us. He's our hope. He's our anchor. We're not getting moved away from God. We're not getting blown off course. We're staying in there, glory be to God, and moving forward. Moving forward, following the forerunner, following Jesus, following his example, following him, and going deeper and deeper into the presence of God, going deeper in our relationship with God. And the Bible says, Jesus having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. What this is all referring to is, first of all, the Old Testament type and shadow of what we have today. The Old Testament had a priesthood. There were priests, there was a high priest, and there were sacrifices that were to be made for sin. Of course, Jesus came and he fulfilled all those things. They were priests, they were high priests. Well, Jesus here is referred to as our high priest. He came and fulfilled the Old Testament promises of the Levitical priesthood had promised us. It promised us that there would be a way made where we can go into the very heart of God, get into the presence of God, and walk with Him, and know Him, and hear His voice, and experience Him in our life. That's what those things promised us. And so back then they had these priests, but Jesus became that priest for you and I. He didn't just become the priest and the high priest. He also was the sacrifice. All these sacrifices that these priests offered, it was all a type and a shadow of Jesus. The priests were a type and shadow of Jesus. The high priest was a type and a shadow of Jesus. The sacrifices were a type and shadow of Jesus. The tabernacle, later the temple, was all patterned according to the pattern God had given Moses. It was set up exactly the way God wanted it, and it was a type of Jesus. And it is the most amazing thing that when you look at even the tabernacle, how it was laid out, the way it was designed, every detail is symbolic of Jesus. Every detail is symbolic of Jesus. Like, for example, let's go over to Exodus chapter 26. This would be a fun study to go through this. And I mean, the curtain is a type of Jesus. The gates, the doors was a type of Jesus. The altar was a type of Jesus. Everything about it was a type of Him. There was this thing called the laver, and the priests would come and they would wash in it, and it was bronze, and it was made of mirrors, and it was filled with water, and it's a type of the Word of God, which is a mirror to you and I. And you wash with the water of the Word. And there's so many things. There was an incense altar, the candlesticks, all these things, they all testify of Jesus. And here in Exodus 26, in verse 26, "And you shall make bars of acacia wood for the boards on one side of the tabernacle. 5 bars for the boards on the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 bars for the boards of the side of the tabernacle for the far side westward. The middle bar shall pass through the midst of the boards from end to end. You shall overlay the boards with gold, make their rings of gold as holders for the bars, and overlay the bars with gold. And you shall raise up the tabernacle according to its pattern, which you were shown on the mountain." So God gives these specific instructions, and when you really get in there, you look and you see that the wood is a type of Jesus' humanity. That's what the wood is actually symbolic of. And then the gold that overlays it is, how many people know what the streets in heaven are paved with? Gold. So when it's talking about gold, it's talking about heavenly things. And here it's referring to the heavenly divine nature of Jesus. He was 100% man. He was 100% God. The wood represents His humanity being corruptible and cheap. The gold representing His righteousness, his righteous nature, His deity, His heavenly person, which is who He was. And then here it talks about silver. The silver signifies His redemption. Silver was used as the temple tax. It's what people brought to the temple. And remember, Jesus said in His day, He said, "Destroy this temple." Remember, He pointed to the temple. He said, "Destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days." And they thought, it has taken X amount of years to build this temple and you're going to raise it up in 3 days? But the Bible says He was referring to the temple of His body. That His body was a type of that temple. That His life was a type of that temple. And He was raised from the dead in 3 days. And when He hung on that cross, He said, "It is finished." And remember when He said it was finished, there was an earthquake. And the Bible says that the veil in the temple was ripped from top to bottom. Now that veil it's talking about there was this veil that separated the outer part of the temple from the inner part known as the Holy of Holies. And that's where the glory of God was. That's where the presence of God was. That's where the high priest went in once a year. But when Jesus died on the cross and said, "It is finished," the payment was made. And the veil was ripped from top to bottom, not bottom to top, but top to bottom, showing that it came from God. And God now opened up the way into the Holy of Holies through Jesus. It's no longer through this tabernacle, which was a type of him. Now he has come. He has come, and now through him we have direct access into the Holy of Holies. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Jesus is all over the Old Testament, in every little thing, in every little thing that's in there. You know, that's the thing about the Word of God. It's all significant. Everything in there, if it's in the Word, it's important. I've said that to God many times. There's things you read and you come across and you're like, why? I mean, that just seems so, I mean, why is that here? And it doesn't seem like it's important. Friend, if it's in the Word, it's important. You just haven't caught up to it yet. You just don't understand its importance yet. But it is important. There are things to know. There is revelation to have. And that's what's so beautiful about growing up spiritually, is that when we go from faith to faith, glory to glory, we're going from revelation to revelation. We're coming into greater and greater understanding of God. That's what's going to cause the blessing of God on our life to increase more and more and more. And it's amazing. You come to the Word of God, you read some things, you see some things, and wow, that's awesome. You know that for a while, and then you come back and you read some of the same things, but now you're on a higher level spiritually. You've been growing up spiritually. You've been growing in your walk with God, and now all of a sudden, whoa, you see something else. And you see something else. That's why you can never have the attitude, "I've read the Word," and become satisfied. Become satisfied with the Bible. You can never get to the place. Now, your mind will tell you, "I've read that before. I've heard that before. Oh, yeah, I know that." But, friend, there's always more to know about that. There's always more. There's deeper truths, deeper insight, greater revelation that will produce greater results, greater blessing in your life. And so that's the mysteries of the Old Testament. Through Jesus Christ, it's all being unfolded to us. Through him, all these mysteries are being revealed. And now we can go further and further into the Holy of Holies. In other words, further and further into God, and have more of his glory upon our life. We're following Jesus. He made the way. I said, Jesus made the way. Can you say amen? Now, wouldn't it be an awful thing for him to have made the way and then you don't go there? He makes the way for us and then we don't go in any further. We just stay out here and we just stay satisfied with where we are. That would be a terrible, terrible place. That'd be an evil thing. Wouldn't that be an evil thing in the sight of God for him to do all that he did to provide access to him and then we don't take advantage of it? He gives us backstage passes into his kingdom, into his presence, to come and meet with him, come and know him, and then we don't go. That would be an evil thing. And so that's not you and I. We are those who are going on. We are maturing. We are growing up in the things of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Now, notice here he mentions Melchizedek. Again, in verse 19 of chapter 6. Where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, Melchizedek was a man that met with Abraham about 500 years before God gave instructions to Moses to start this tabernacle and this priesthood. So going back hundreds of years to the days of Abraham, before the priests, before any of that was set up, there was a man by the name of Melchizedek. And the Bible is letting us know here that this man Melchizedek is a type and a shadow of our high priest, Jesus. So let's look at him a little bit over in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1. It says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him." If you read the story, Abraham, he went out to rescue his nephew Lot. And in doing so, he ended up having to go to war against these kings. And he and his servants and some neighbors around him helped him. He went and he conquered these kings. He overthrew them, and there was tons and tons of wealth that Abraham received as a result of that. And so that's what it's referring to there. And then all of a sudden, this mystery man, we never heard of him before. He's not mentioned anywhere in the Bible up to this point, but he just shows up. This man, Melchizedek, he just suddenly shows up on the scene and he meets with Abraham. And it says in verse 2, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, or a tithe. Abraham tithed to this Melchizedek. First being translated, his name being translated, King of Righteousness. And then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace. Well, does that sound like somebody else you know? King of Righteousness, King of Peace. That's what this man Melchizedek's name means. Verse 3, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. So Melchizedek then was a priest. Obviously a high priest. Again, the Bible doesn't record anything about his life until this point where he just shows up, blesses Abraham. Abraham tithes to him, and then he's gone. We don't see him anymore. But yet the Bible brings him up and says, in the same way, Jesus, the Son of God, having no beginning or end, but is here continually, but lives continually. He, this Melchizedek, is likened to him. So Melchizedek here is a type of Jesus. And this King of Salem, King of Peace, that's where we get Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city of peace. So he was the king of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem actually was an ancient city that goes way back before Israel, you know, occupied the nation that they currently occupy. It goes all the way back to the days of Joshua. We see Joshua go in to take possession of the city of Jerusalem to take it from the Jebusites. So before the Israelites had Jerusalem, the Jebusites had Jerusalem. So it goes way back. So who knows? Maybe this is where Melchizedek was king. King of this particular Jerusalem all the way back then in Abraham's day. So we see that Melchizedek represented Jesus to Abraham. Abraham was able to see Jesus through the life of Melchizedek. And Abraham therefore brought his tithe to Melchizedek, and Melchizedek in return blessed him. Now again, the law that commands people to tithe, that came hundreds of years after this. There was tithing all the way back here, and tithing wasn't something that people were commanded to do. It was something they wanted to do to honor God. So this man was a type of Jesus to Abraham, and Abraham, in response to this type of Jesus, brings his tithes to him. Let's look at verse 4, Hebrews 7, 4. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi who receive the priesthood have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. So it's telling us there that here Abraham, who is really the father of the Jewish people, and it was through the Jewish people that the Levitical priesthood was established, and the Jewish people would bring their tithes to, according to the law to the Levitical priest in order to honor God. And so these priests would receive tithes. He's saying here, Melchizedek is even greater than that whole priesthood. He's greater in that those that receive tithes as priests, Levitical priests, were actually paying tithes to Melchizedek while in the loins of Abraham. So as Abraham was giving, it was as though the priests were giving. So Melchizedek is made greater or superior to the Old Testament tabernacle, the priesthood, Moses, and all these other types and shadows. That's why it says, verse 4, now consider how great this man was. Think of how great this man was. Wow, that's an awesome type and shadow. How would you like to be Melchizedek? Now, you know, some people think, well, they believe it was Jesus, literally, that, you know, it was him, in a pre-incarnate form here, you know, on the earth, you know, visiting. But he calls him Melchizedek, and he says, made like the Son of God. Doesn't say he is the Son of God. So he's a type of Jesus. I do not believe he's Jesus. I don't believe he's actually Jesus manifesting in the flesh to Abraham. But here he is being a type and a shadow, and he was so great that he was superior even to Abraham, who's called the father of our faith. Abraham is bringing his tithe to him, and Melchizedek is blessing Abraham. It's not Abraham blessing Melchizedek. And that's why it says in verse 7, now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Well, who did the blessing? Melchizedek. So Melchizedek is the better. Who's the lesser? The one that's being blessed is the lesser, and that's Abraham. So Abraham is tithing and giving to Melchizedek. He's giving up, we can say. He's giving to him, and then Melchizedek is blessing him. So Melchizedek was the greater. And so if Melchizedek can walk, and he's a man, in such a type and shadow, you and I today can be a type and shadow of the Lord Jesus. God has had types and shadows of himself all throughout history. And it's still to be going on today. The Bible says that we are to be epistles of Christ, read by all men. When people look at you, they should see the word of God on legs. They should look at you and see the word of God. You should be a type of the Lord Jesus Christ to this generation. In fact, the Bible says that God has, under the new covenant, made us kings and priests. He's made us kings and priests. What was Melchizedek? He was a king and he was a priest. Who is Jesus? He's our high priest and he is King of Kings. We're the kings that he's the king of. And so we are to be a type and a shadow of Jesus in the earth today. Praise God. We are to be a blessing. We are to be blessed and we are to be a blessing. We are to be a picture of him. We are to be an illustration of him. How many people want to be an illustration of Jesus to this generation? God's looking for us to be an illustration of himself to this generation. We are actually referred to as the body of Christ. So if Melchizedek can be so great in the eyes of Abraham, how great can the church be today in the eyes of the world? How great can the body of Christ be to the world today? That's how high we're to go. That's how far we're to go. Your life is to be that kind of reflection of Jesus. If this Old Testament man that came out of nowhere and went back into nowhere by the name of Melchizedek can be such a type and a shadow of Jesus, how much more you and I who have been born again, who have now come from heaven and are going to return to heaven, who have been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, how much more you and I can be this reflection of Jesus in the earth today. Somebody say, no more status quo. No more staying complacent. It's time to go on. Amen. It's time to go on. It's time to move up in the things of God. Grow up in the things of God. Walk as kings, as priests, even as the Lord Jesus himself. Now, you might feel like, well, that's just way out there. I don't think I can do that. You can't in yourself. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, and you can do it. If Melchizedek can do it, if Abraham can be a type and shadow, you certainly could be a type and a shadow, because you are the spiritual offspring of Abraham. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. Somebody say, I'm growing up and moving on, moving deeper into the things of God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.